Sunday morning. Give him that Sunday morning worship. I don't expect your eyes to be open. This is a few moments before the service starts for us to worship Him.
Glory, glory, glory to
you. Are not here to see man, you are here to see Jesus. Mind away from that trouble that brought you to church. I worship the maker of heaven and earth. Take your mind away from that trouble. Connect your heart to the maker of heaven and earth. One more minute for somebody to worship Jesus. One more minute for somebody to connect their heart to the maker of heaven and earth. While your eyes are closed, let us acknowledge Jesus. Let your heart translate from this physical realm we are. See yourself in front of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We bless your name for carrying us throughout the week. Thank you, Father, for bringing us to service today. Ancient of Days, we bring this service unto you and ask, Lord, that you come and take charge in the name of Jesus. Everything we shall do today, Lord, let your name be glorified in the name of Jesus Christ. Lion of the tribe of Judah, I submit the heart and mind of everyone here. Papa, let there be no distraction to prevent us from worshiping you right this morning in the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus and have your seat. Thank you. God bless you. I know some of you are probably seeing my face for the first time. My name is Brother Chinedu from the Children's Church. I am a teacher. And today I've been given the opportunity by the overseer to come and take a topic for our Bible study. I want to acknowledge him and I thank him for letting God use him to raise such a ministry as this that lets people see the truth of who Jesus Christ is. Amen. God bless you. All right, for us to start, I would like to first of all know if we are here with our three B's. You know, in my class, I always ask the children, I hope you came to class, to church, with your three B's. What are the three B's? Your Bible, your book, and your biro. Praise the Lord. If you are not here with your three B's, then I question why you came to church. Because you will hear something, and it will strike your heart. For you to enjoy that thing when you go back home, you must have jotted it down. Sometimes while you're praying, you can hear a prayer point, and you write it down. When you go home, you continue in that session. Fellowship with God is not only in the church. Amen. All right, so today I'll be taking us on a topic I titled Repentance from Dead Works. Repentance from Self-Righteousness. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Please, I want to feel your energy. I'm not alone here. I want to know that you two are also hearing me. Hallelujah. God bless you, sir. Amen. Now, when you give your life to Christ, if you are a sincere person and you read your Bible, you find that there's a difference. Something has happened. If Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, why are we not seeing him walking raw? In the day of Pentecost, there were 120 people in the upper room. And from those 120 people, the gospel was able to pass from where? Jerusalem to where? Judea to Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth, right? Please answer me, right? Thank you. And today, in Nigeria, statistics will tell us that there are 74 million people that claim, I use the word carefully, claim to be Christians. You see form, you say, what's your religion? You write either Christian or Muslim or traditional religion. 74 million people in Nigeria tick Christian. What is the difference between Christians today and the Christians that came out from the day of Pentecost? The gospel moves so forward that 2.3 billion people around the world are answering Christian. Something happened. Hallelujah. And in contemplating about this, I personally have seen that we have not understood the fundamentals of the Christian faith. We have not. Acts chapter 2 verse 38 shows us the simple key to receive or gain entry into the kingdom of God. Please, thank you. He says, and then Peter said unto them, what did he say? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of sins, and ye shall do what? Receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This scripture is enough for you to gain access to the kingdom of God, for you to produce the life that is in Christ. John 1 verse 12 tells us, please let us see that scripture, John chapter 1 verse 12. But as many as did what? Who is this him? The Holy Ghost. Who is this him? Yes. To them gave he what? Power. To become who? The sons of God. So if you say you have received the Holy Ghost, where is the power? Where is the life? Where is the character? Brethren, the truth is that we have not gotten the fundamentals of what? Repentance. We have not repented. We have not repented. Before I go into my slides here, I want to ask a few questions. The first question I want to ask is, why do you feel there is need for repentance? Please, coordinators, I want one mic here and another one here so that we can get them quickly. Two answers, one from brothers, one from sisters. Why is there need for repentance? Don't worry, there's no wrong answer, and I believe you are all advanced Bible students. Yes? Why is there need for repentance?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Why, for my own understanding, for repentance, why we need to repent is for us to go out from our evil ways and from our bondage and come to light, to
okay,
the light
God bless
of
you.
God.
God bless you. Thank you very much. Another answer from the brother's side.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Without repentance, according to the Bible, we cannot make heaven. That is number one. If you do not repent, you are still living in sin. Romans chapter 6 verse 1, the Bible says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that the grace of God should abide? The Bible says, God forbid. So if we continue in sin, we die, we go to hellfire.
God bless you.
In the name of the Lord.
So brother is saying, if we do not repent, we will continue to remain in our sin. So one quick answer, maybe you can give him back. What is sin? You know, this is a mistake we make. When we read the Bible, we read it like storybook. But every word you see there carries life. You have to dig into that thing to catch the word. Don't gloss over the Bible. Okay, please. Our mommy here wants to answer. What is sin?
Sin is living in disobedience to God's commandments.
Thank you. Perfect. Please put your hands together for her. Hallelujah. If only Eve knew this word that she just said. If only Adam knew this word she just said. Never would they have sinned. Hallelujah. And so, living in avoidance, living in obedience to the commandment of God is what we call righteousness. But my topic today is what? Repentance from self-righteousness. My last question. I like my classes to be interactive because it's not only me. Our brain is also working. I hope all of us came to church with our brain today. Okay. So when I talk, your brain should be stimulated. Answers, questions should be coming. Hallelujah. So my last question is, what is self-righteousness? What is self-righteousness? Because she just said now that if you live in obedience to the word of God, you are in righteousness. You are walking in righteousness. So what is self-righteousness? Okay, give her another opportunity.
To me, I would say self-righteousness is depending on your power to please God. You are really depending on your power. We can also attribute it as living according to the dictates of the Old Testament law.
Okay, you got it first, then you started deviating. Not the Old Testament law. Amen. Okay, let's give her. We don't have any other time for question, but let's hear
all
you,
right.
Ma'am.
In addition,
yes,
self-righteousness is your ability to live right to your own dictates. For instance, you don't like smoking, you don't like drinking, not because the word of God says so. You might not be a womanizer because your body doesn't like womanizing, but that is not the kind of righteousness that the Bible asks us to live in. Self-righteousness is you living, being right in your own way.
Being right in your own way. That's what I wanted to hear. Praise the Lord. Put your hands together for her. I hope we two that were coming and sitting down, we are also connecting. The sisters, they are firing more than the brothers today. Eh? There's no more time. Maybe as time goes on, I'll give us something. Amen. Okay, slide 2. Let me show us what I wrote down from my own research. From research from my Bible and other things. Slide 2, please. What is self-righteousness? The dictionary definition of self-righteousness is confidence in one's own righteousness, especially when proudly moralistic. IT, please follow me. When proudly moralistic and intolerant of the opinions and behavior of others. That's what English dictionary says. You see the big grammar. Let me break it down now. The biblical explanation is self-righteousness is related to legalism. Legalism means, now so we the drum for my church. My denomination talks say we go drum like this. It has nothing to do with God. It is the idea that we can somehow generate within ourselves a righteousness that is acceptable to God. Somehow, I'm going to power my Christian life by my own idea. That is what is called self-righteousness. Praise the Lord. The next one is, what is then righteousness? What is then true righteousness? Next slide, please. There are scriptures backing it up. So as you see, you can write, because I'm trying to maximize what I can do with the time. So righteousness is a behavior that is morally justifiable or right. This behavior is characterized by socially accepted standards of morality, justice, virtue, or uprightness. The Bible's standard of human righteousness is God's own perfection in every attribute, every attitude, every behavior, and every word. Now let's go into our Bible. And you will see that God's standard of righteousness, please pay attention to that portion where I wrote, God's own perfection in every attribute, every attitude, every behavior, and every word. Every word. Zechariah chapter 3, 1 to 4. Please, let's open there and look at something. Zechariah, okay. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord. And Satan, you see how I paused there? He showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing where? Before the angel of the Lord. And then Satan, his enemy, Satan, his adversary, standing at his right hand to do what? To resist him. Why? And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke you, O Satan. Even the Lord that has chosen him, Jerusalem, rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with what? Filthy garment. And he stood before the angel. This filthy garment here is not that he did not wash his clothes, though, or he's wearing an old cloth. He has not bought a new one. No. Remember, he's standing in the spiritual realm before God. This is his spiritual estate. Hallelujah. This is how he appears in the spirit. No amount of hypo can make your garment pure before God. No amount of bleach, no. No amount of effort, no amount of, let me strong myself, let me discipline myself, no. Why? Because this man we are talking about is the high priest. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This man we are talking about is who? The high priest. So if it's by righteousness or living holy, you're not rich. You're not rich, you know. But somehow this man was standing in the presence of God and Satan was accusing him. Let's jump to Psalm 23 verse 4. Let's start from 3. Psalm 23. You want to come into the presence of God, Abby? Verse 3. Psalm 24, verse 3 and 4. You want to come before the presence of God, right? Look at the requirements. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? If your finger is still on that Zechariah, you see what the man's mistake was. Verse 4. He that has clean hands and a what? A pure heart. Who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. How come the high priest, Joshua, was not able to stand pure before God? He was standing on self-righteousness. His righteousness did not reach God's standard. Hallelujah. His righteousness did not reach what? God's standard. If you look through the Bible, you see different definitions of righteousness. Next slide, please. We have just talked about one, and that is garment. A garment. Righteousness is a garment. You wear it. In that wedding banquet, the king saw that man. He was not wearing the garment that was given to others. He was wearing a filthy garment. And what happened to him? He was cast out. Garment is also a picture of righteousness. The next one is, righteousness is a standard of excellence. It's righteousness that will promote you in the spiritual realm. Righteousness by God's standard, not by man's standard, though. Please pay attention. Some people, they are getting promotion in their place of work because they know how to pander to authority. They know how to make Oga happy. Therefore, Oga will promote them, Abi? Yes. But God's standard of righteousness, for you to get promoted, you must meet up to that standard. Why is this small boy getting this anointing? Why is he getting this office? Because he has entered into the righteousness of God. He has met up to the standard that God prescribed, that God commanded that men should have before coming into his service. Righteousness is a tree. You can see it as a branch, and you can also see it as a fruit, and you can also see it in other ways, even a fruit. Praise the Lord. Let us open to James chapter 3 from 13. James chapter 3 from 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. 15. This wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from God from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Make peace with who? Men? No. Please leave that verse 18. Let them see it. Make peace with who? Is it men or is it with God? Answer me, please. If you read that, James, understand it. Don't look at it in the aspect of men alone. Look at it in your relationship with God. There are some people here that are angry with God. If you see from verse 13 and 14, you see strife and bitter envying. Why do I have to pray first thing in the morning? Why do I have to do all these things that God says I should do? Why can't I live my life? You want to be your own God. But until you make peace with God, you can never enter into his standard of righteousness. Hallelujah. Next slide. Righteousness is a way. Righteousness is an authority and power. You may not need to, you know, write everything exactly. You can download this later. I'll share it for us to download. There are a lot of references here. But this is for your personal Bible study. Later you can look at it and gain a better understanding of what the word righteousness is according to the Bible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, we are well taught in this church. And this, my next point, is something everybody knows. Righteousness is a person. Every other righteousness we have painted here is a type, is a shadow. But righteousness is what? Please, what's the name of the righteousness? What is the name of the person who is righteousness? My children answer this thing faster than we hear. Righteousness is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. God himself, he is the standard of righteousness. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Others are showing pictures. Others are showing types. But one thing I want us to have comfort in, and that is the only differentiating factor between Christianity, true Christianity, and all religions in the world. Our righteousness, to be right with God, to make peace with God, is a gift. You cannot do anything to earn God's approval. It is a what? Let's see Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 from verse 17. For it is by one man's offense death reigned by one. Much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one. Who? Jesus Christ. 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men. To what? Condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men. Unto what? Justification of life. Brethren, Christ did not come to save you from hellfire. Our brother mentioned it and said, you are righteous, or you don't sin, so that you escape hell. Hell is a small thing when you receive the Spirit of God. It's a small thing. You have children in your house and you live in a mansion. There is no way you let your children sleep outside. Answer me. Is it possible? No matter how much they offend you, you will draw them by your side and flog them. Make sure they chop the punishment for that mistake they made. But at the end, you do what? You bring them home. Praise the Lord. But that's the reason. What is the reason why you forgave them their mistake? Because they are your children. The gift you gave them of love, of righteousness, of doing the right thing, it's not them that did it. It's not anything they did. Example, the prodigal son. Tell me, why did the father, if you read the prodigal son, you realize that the boy did not even tell papa anything. From far, he was looking in the window every day. He'd be looking, now here did he used enter my house. Check. One fateful day, he saw his son coming with tattered garments, filthy, and ran and met him, hugged him, kissed him. Hallelujah. The boy did not even have time to say, Daddy, I'm so sorry. He had planned, a speech. Well, you know, he organized what to tell his father. Father, in fact, he wanted to lick his leg, roll on the floor, you know, to make up to the standard, the righteous standard of his father, right? But the father ran. Why? Because of love. Why? Somebody shout, thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to understand the true character of Jesus Christ, because some of us, we have a wrong picture of who this God is. We have a wrong understanding of the righteous standard of God. You think it's by your trying. No. Righteousness is a gift. Slide 4, please. And so, for you to understand righteousness, I'll give us this assignment. Personal study. Go home and search for the I am statement of Jesus. Why? Because we want to know who Jesus Christ is, the character of Jesus. So when pastor says, worship him for who you know him to be, don't be saying he's the one that kills your enemies. He's the, you know, those things. No. Open your Bible and get revelation of who this Jesus Christ is. Hallelujah. He is a what? He's a gift. And so the question now is for everybody to consider. Have you truly received the gift of righteousness according to the word of God, according to the apostles? Have you truly received the gift of righteousness? Or is it until your prophet tell you, don't worry, it will be well with you? That's when you have peace. Don't worry, I promote you. You're no more a so-and-so person. You're now a higher office in the church. Oh, I am increased in righteousness. No. Hallelujah. Study it and find out what is God's requirement. Know his character. And this will draw you into a place of prayer. That's the beauty of this Bible. If you read it with the right spirit, you will hold your Bible. You will not be able to sleep. Because as you're opening it, as you're reading it, prayer points will be coming. Father, I want this spirit of righteousness. Father, I want to be able to live above my flesh. Father, I don't want to desire sin. Father, I don't want to fear money more than you. Why are you lying? Why are you stealing? Why are you sleeping with that man that is not your husband? You fear the consequence of living that life more than God. Hallelujah. And so, all these things we are doing, trying to prove that we are somebody in the sight of God so that God will accept us, is what is called dead works. Dead works. Hallelujah. Slide 5. What is a dead work? This is a long reading. I don't know if we have time for it. But let's see. Romans chapter 3 from verse 10. Romans chapter 3 from verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. Go on, just go on. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. Who is the they? Me and you. Me and you. They are together become unprofitable. God cannot gain his investment back from you. He gave you life, but you're using the life to do what you like. That's why you become unprofitable. God cannot derive any pleasure from you. You have a business and you hire people to do tasks for you. But immediately you leave the office, instead of your staff to be working, they are on Facebook. They are on TikTok doing kiki. Customers will come and they'll be treating them, do quick and go, let me continue watching my video. In your business, you're supposed to get 20 sales. In a day, you're getting only 2 sales, 3 sales. Because your workers have become what? Unprofitable. They are unrighteous. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. 13. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. Liars. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Please, I want you to read this scripture and look at yourself. If a voice is telling, now so that sister they do, and she go, they call herself Christian. This word is for you and me. Please, is not for anybody other than yourself. Hallelujah. Their feet are swift to shed blood. 16. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they known. Peace is with who? Answer me, please. Peace is with who? God, not men. If you make peace with God, there is no way you will not be at peace with men. No way. You cannot love God and hate your brother. 1 John says so. Eh? He that hateth is not of God. For you that hate, you don't have the love of God inside of you. Hallelujah. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Hallelujah. There is no what? Yes, go on. Now we know that what things soever the law said, he said to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Leave that 19. I want you to see something. That God brought the law of Moses to show you his righteous standard. Show you what he requires. So that you will humbly come to him and say, Lord, this thing where you do, this law where you talk, say, make we obey. I cannot do it in my own strength. Hallelujah. The right revelation of the word of God brings humility. Amen. You will be humble to know that you cannot try it. You cannot do it by yourself. I don't need to ask us, for all of us that are truly Christians, how many times have you come and cry, Father, I will not commit this sin again. Father, I will not do this thing. You will cry. What happens the next day? After you leave that atmosphere, you will do it. That time you made up your mind, you shrunk your teeth. I will not do this thing again. I don't want to mention the sins, but you remember all of them. I will not do this thing again. I am a Christian. I have the life of Christ Jesus. I follow the word of God. Some people say, no, me, I'm a prophet. I'm a pastor. I cannot be committing this type of sin. You are living in your own righteousness. And you will never, never meet up to the standard. It's not that God hates you. It's that you have not humbly come to him and say, Father, give me the gift of righteousness. Hallelujah. Save me from dead works. My topic today is repentance from what? Dead works. Repentance from self-righteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I want to use a popular scripture to explain this further. The children of Israel. I don't know. Okay, well, it is true. There is no other nation that God has showed himself visibly like Israel. Is it true or is it true? There is no other nation. They were under bondage. They were crying unto God. I remember the God of Abraham. I remember our fathers, Jacob. They were roaming free, doing what they want. They were walking with kings, fighting battles. How come we are under bondage, serving Pharaoh, serving his gods? Hallelujah. But they were still trying to do that righteousness by themselves. The command of God to Pharaoh from Moses was what? Let my people go, that they will do what? Worship. They will do what? Worship me. God has saved them to serve him. But they could not do it because they did not have the Spirit of God. Exodus chapter 14. Let's see something here. Slide 6, please. Exodus 14. Exodus 14, please. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. I want us to pay attention to that word there. Hardened. And the Lord did what? Hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, encamping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth and Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. They cried out, ah, God, help us. Oh. And they said unto Moses, listen, oh, is it because there are no graves in Egypt has thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Let's rewind, like maybe a few hours. Bible scholars, Bible students, remember what I'm talking about. These people were the ones that left Egypt with many signs and wonders following, Abi. The last one was a plague that killed all the firstborns. And the night of the Passover, the people of Egypt gave them gold, precious things, uncommon. Gave them everything. Say, Mokuna, they go. Take all the valuables in my house. And God saved them by a mighty hand. They saw it raw. And at the sign of the first problem, what did they say? Is it because there is no grave inside Egypt? Has thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore has thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? 12. Is not this the word that we told you in Egypt? He said, Shebi, we told you in Egypt. Say, leave us alone. Let us serve who? The same Israelite that we are praying to God. He said, let us alone. Let us serve who? Don't say it's only the Egyptians. So, brothers and sisters, are you not still praying that you follow those 419 methods to sell your business? Those lying. Those falsifications. At least make my students see food chop, Abi. God will understand. A man that cannot provide for his home is worse than an infidel. You'll be hearing those scriptures in your head. And lying. And cheating. Eh? Should I talk about backbiting? Gossiping? Let me go back to my Egyptian ways. For it has been better for us to serve these Egyptians. It's better. I remember my life that time. I know they suffer like this. Than that we should die in the wilderness. But somebody, death is required before life. Somebody say that to your neighbor. Say, death is required before life. I hope somebody understands what I just said. Death is required before life. Say it to your neighbor. You must die to die your Egyptian ways. You must die. That person, when they do that thing, he's supposed to die. Jesus Christ said, follow me. Carry your cross. That's what he told the rich young ruler. And the rich young ruler said, it's nice, so well done. But let me continue in my self-righteousness. And he went back, what? Sorrowfully. Because inside his heart, he knew, this thing this man is saying is the truth. But I cannot do it. And that's how that man missed what? Eternal life. Except a seed fall to the ground and die, it does what? Abideth alone. May God give us the grace to die in Jesus' name. Yes, not physical death, spiritual death. Amen. For somebody that doesn't understand my analogy. Amen. The children of Israel were miracle seekers. They were looking for comfort and pleasure in this world at any cost, even slavery. They don't mind though. Let me be suffering whip and cane as long as I can eat what? Cucumber and garlic. Let me lie small. Let me steal small. Let me sleep with this man. After I go and meet God and ask for mercy. Make I no die. Make I no go back village. How I won't pay my house rent. You will now compromise and go back under the bondage of Satan. I want to quote this scripture earlier now. Romans chapter 6 verse 16. Because it is key now. Romans 6, 16. There's a voice that is telling you to go back to your Egyptian ways. Look at what the Bible says in Romans. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants are ye to him to obey, whether that of sin unto death or of obedience unto what? Please answer. I'll read it again so that it will sink. This scripture is an eye-opener. You will learn who to obey. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether to sin unto death or obedience unto what? You want to get righteousness, Abi? You want to receive the gift of righteousness? There is something you must do. You must learn to obey the voice of God. And the voice of God is here. It's not the one pastor said, God of Bride Assembly. No, that's not how you receive the gift of righteousness. All your problems, Satan is able to accuse you even before the presence of God because of unrighteousness. It's not because you can pray. Can you pray more than the high priest? It's not because you can keep yourself holy. Can you keep yourself more holy than the high priest? No. It's because you don't have the garment of what? of righteousness. The Israelites were unrighteous people because they are miracle seekers. They want to solve their problem. They don't care about the God. They just care about the blessing. Amen. The Israelites pictured God to be like one of the gods of Egypt who gave them comfort, but under the terms of what? Slavery. They served God with this wicked understanding, comparing the God of Israel to the gods of Egypt, who will give you small comfort, but you will be their what? Slave. Why is it that every time I pray, fast, my body will be vibrating, I can feel the presence. Immediately you go back home, in your dream, that spirit will come and laugh at you, say, oh God, you have finished your own, Abi, it's my turn. They will hold your neck, press it. Because you still have something that is their own. You are still wearing their filthy garments. Repent from your self-righteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in their mind, if the God of Moses did not give them what they wanted quickly, Jehovah, sharp, sharp, they will look for another God to solve their problem. In their own is solution ground. Their own is, they are looking for God of solution. Let's see Exodus chapter 32, verse 4, quickly. This was when Moses had climbed up to the mountain, and he stayed a while. And when they could not find him, you can read from verse 1, but let's pick up the key here. And he received them at their hand. Aaron began to mold a god. They say, people like say, this Moses and in God, don't die, yo. How will we live and please, in quotes, God? Okay, let's read it down. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool. And he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. What a lie. What a lie. And please keep it. Verse 5. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast unto the who? Somebody say, God is patient. Somebody say, God is patient. If I was God from heaven, all of them would die. You are not serious. So you have, because of Moses, waited a little. You now change me to a molten calf. Me, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hey, God. Hallelujah. Somebody say, God is patient. Ah, yeah. Amen. And they look for a solution. Say, this be your gods. The one that brought thee out of Egypt. Abba. That was a lie. So, you see the heart of these Israelites, even though they saw miracle signs and wonders, there was something wrong with their heart. Like Pharaoh, their heart was still hardened. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25 tells us that God himself has a plan to redeem you out of your condition. The first step is that you need to be cleaned. Praise the Lord. He said, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be what? Clean. Clean from your filthy garments, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. The idols is not the one you carry up and down, no? Or you go in the night and be, no, not that one. The one in your heart. Because this, our heart, is an idol producing factory. So even people in church, they'll see pastor on the altar. This is my idol, God of Pastor Moses. They'll come and be touching his leg. Your idol is no more God, it's now a man. You left the one from the village, you now came to look for one in Ijesha. You are idol-making factory. Except the word of God comes and cleanses you, you have no hope of receiving the gift of righteousness. The next one is verse 6. God will give you a heart of flesh. The Israelites had a heart of stone. They cannot receive anything from God. Eh? You as a business person, can you carry your money and be pouring inside a wasted business? You fetch water, you carry a basket and be pouring water inside. How much more so God? Will he be pouring his resources? He put his seed, put his water upon stone? No. First of all, God will break that heart. Hallelujah. And the breaking of the heart is not by strengthening your mind. It's by studying the word of God. Hallelujah. They needed to be pricked and convicted in their heart before they could receive the gift of righteousness to do righteous works accepted by God. Hallelujah. And we see the key, slide 8, we see the key in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. If you look at, please write down that scripture, Matthew 16, 18 to 19. Jesus told them that I will give you what? The keys to the kingdom. I'm just referencing it. You can write it down in your book and study it later. But in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be what? Baptized. Every one of you. It was at this moment that Jesus, the key that God gave, Jesus gave to, what's his name? Peter. That's when he uses to open the gates of the kingdom of righteousness. Somebody put your hands together for Jesus. I hope you are catching this thing I'm painting for us. It was at this point here that the work of Jesus was confirmed. The gates of righteousness was opened for people to enter, to receive who? The gift of righteousness. To receive who? Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you cannot do any of all this without repenting. Like you saw now, the key is what? The first key is repentance. So what is repentance? Repentance is a change of mind followed by a change of action towards the righteous standard of God. You can write it down. Let me repeat it. If you don't pick up anything today, write this one down. Repentance is a change of mind followed by a change of action towards the righteous standard of God. Repentance is not changing your Catholic belief and changing to Bride Assembly belief. No, that's not repentance. Because it is not a creed. It is a person. It is not a doctrine. It is a spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me repeat it for the last time. Repentance is a change of mind followed by a change of action towards the righteous standard of God. So what is repentance? I've given a definition now, but I want to tell us now that there are many confusion we have about repentance. Repentance is not, slide 9 please, it's not remorse. Oh, I'm so sorry for this thing I did. I'm so sad. It's not sorrow. You feel sorry. You feel sad. It's not repentance. That is not enough. Hallelujah. Repentance is not tears. If you pray, you'll be in a place of prayer, and all of a sudden you feel so broken, so sad, so, you know, broken. Let me use that word. And then you start crying. Oh, God, this thing, you have convicted me about this thing so much. I have not been able to change. I promise this time. In fact, if I don't do it, kill me. You get some people where they pray that kind of prayer. I hope God never answers that prayer in Jesus' name. Let the mercy of God locate us in Jesus' name. Our God is not wicked. Somebody tell your neighbor, our God is not wicked. If you sincerely ask God, and God sees the state of your heart, that you have the right understanding and you are prepared to follow the course, the way of righteousness, he will give you the gift. Hallelujah. Repentance is not annoyance in yourself for sinning. It's not a resolution to do better. I will change my style. Anytime I feel this thing, maybe I'll go ask sister, maybe come cook for my house. I will be in the room. She'll be in the kitchen. I'm not near her. Oh, God, you will fornicate. I will just label it Korea, whereas now China did there. But I'll make it small. So in case the truth is there, oh, God, you have not repented. The next slide, please. What is repentance? Repentance is brokenness. Example is King David. King David proved repentance. You can study it in Psalm 51. You will see that he did not stay on his own righteousness. He had right, though. He had things that justify his sin. But he broke himself down and said, God, I beg. But if you teach me righteousness, I too will teach others. If you read that thing, you see the heart of a broken man. A man who truly is ready and repentant. Hallelujah. Another one is the people of Nineveh in Jonah chapter 3. You will see it there. Hallelujah. Repentance affects your pride. And I already given us the story of prodigal son. He did not think, what would they say? This boy, you don't collect papa half of his riches and now you want to come back. He did not care about that. Hallelujah. Repentance is humbling yourself and submitting the ways of God, just like Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus proved repentance. You saw my definition. Repentance is a change of mind followed by a change of what? Action. You change your mind first, then you change, and action will follow. And that's how you prove that you have truly repented. And not just any action. Action in line with what? The word of God. Hallelujah. The same thing happened in the day of Pentecost. After the Israelites on the day of Pentecost were told their sins, that this person they killed is Jesus Christ. They did not say, but he blasphemed. Now, there were witnesses. According to the law of Moses, once two or three witnesses, a matter is established. We had the right to kill him. How will we know? Witnesses came. Praise the Lord. But they were broken. They say, oh, this thing is true. These men are not drunk. This is supernatural power. And we remember that there was something great about Jesus, that he's the proof and the true Messiah. Praise the Lord. And at that point, they asked, what's the question? Men and brethren, what shall we do? Praise the Lord. So who are you going to ask, what shall we do? Not Pastor Moses, your Bible. Open your Bible and ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, what can I do? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And Zacchaeus is a proof of it because he restituted. You can study it by yourself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And ungodly repentance does not lead you to the word. That's the difference. It does not lead you to the Bible. And ungodly repentance does not lead you to Jesus. It leads you to self. Next slide. Now, these are the true signs, the signs of true repentance. You can write these ones. These ones are very important. Write the scriptures there. The first one is brokenness. The first one is what? Brokenness. Oh, Father, I thank you. Psalm 119. You will see it later. Read it from beginning to the end. And if you prayerfully go through it, God gave Pastor that revelation in, I think, 2016 or 2015 or thereabout, that we should be using it for our consecration hour. Because it is a humbling scripture. You will see the heart posture of a man that has truly repented, a man who has godly sorrow. And he bowed down in humility to God, that, Lord, I want to follow your standard. I want to follow your way. Not the way of my ancestors, not the way of my uncles, not the way of my company or my business. Now, so if you want to make money for this business line, you have to follow like this. No. Hallelujah. The next one is, it will cost you something. Your flesh will feel pain. Your flesh will feel it all. Don't feel like, oh, this thing is causing me to feel so much pain that it can't be of God. No. There's another spirit inside of you. There's another body inside of you. It's called the old man. It's called Mr. Flesh. That one is feels pompous when he's doing the right things. Ah, you are a righteous man, man of God, apostle. You two will be rising up. Who told you you're an apostle? It's God that gives gifts. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The more you repent, the more you die to self. The more you repent, the more you purge out the old nature and approach maturity. Hallelujah. You begin to hate your former lifestyle. You just detest it. Not by any personal effort, though, because you have started receiving a new life. The word of God has cleansed you, and it has broken your heart, such that you now have a heart of flesh. When you carry your Bible and read, it is no more speaking condemnation to you. No. It is coming to your heart. Hey, that is the difference between a child of God, that his heart is flesh, and a heart of stone. The more Moses came and told Pharaoh, my God said this, my God, his heart was getting more and more hardened. Praise the Lord. Until you receive that spirit of righteousness, you will hate your former lifestyle. Amen. You ask yourself, oh, please, I hope we're asking ourselves, why is it that I'm a Christian? Miracle signs and wonders are happening before me in my life, but I still love those things the worldly people love. These are questions you ask yourself. Write it down. In your personal prayer, ask yourself, is God that will help you? It's not any man. It's God that will help you. As you're reading your Bible, ask God for help. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you begin to cooperate with the Holy Spirit as he works to sanctify you. Amen. You begin to love God and his ways. Ah, Father, thank you. And this is how the lifestyle of righteousness will start to produce from you. The fruit of righteousness will start to be seen in you. Ha, your people that know you before say, oh, boy, you don't change, oh. You say, what's happening? What's change? Ah, you know they follow us, go do betting again. Don't worry about it. You know, I make 5 million naira yesterday. We say, don't worry, I don't care about that. Because something has changed inside of you. It is not a power that you came from yourself. Hallelujah. You go out of your way to make things right. That's what we saw from Zacchaeus. Restitution. You hurt somebody and you say, no, lie. This thing where I do, I'm God, don't forgive me. I don't need to go and meet him and ask for mercy and return. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go to this scripture. This is the last scripture before we round up. Mark chapter 10. I want to get, okay, no, let's go to Luke. Luke chapter 19. Luke 19. Let's use Zacchaeus instead of the rich young ruler. Okay. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. Okay. There was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. And he was what? Very rich. He was rich. And he sought to see Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus because he wanted to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was of little stature. Yes, next one. Please be fast so that we can maximize the time. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Yes, faster. And when Jesus Christ came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must reside at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received who? Jesus. Joyfully. Yes. And when he saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a what? A sinner. I don't need to go into this because we know that publicans are referred to as considered sinners. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him how many fold? Fourfold. Hallelujah. And Jesus Christ made a wonderful statement to his family. He said, this day is salvation come to this house. Salvation from what? From his sins. Salvation from that correct way. In his mind, though, what he was doing was a correct business. That is how publicans behave. That's their normal way of doing business. You cheat anybody, you collect anything you want because you are backed up by the law. But that day, Jesus came and gave him freedom. He said, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is the son of Abraham, the final one, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. All right, let us bow our heads down, and we're going to make a prayer point now. We're going to ask God, Father, change my heart. I want a heart of flesh. I don't want this Bible to be something that condemns me. I want it to be a word that makes me want to do better. A desire. I want a desire to be righteous. I want a desire to be like Jesus. Somebody, make sure you are praying that prayer. Pray, oh, Father, give me a heart like you.